Straight Talk on WRHI is presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Now here's Manning Kimmel broadcasting live from Substation 2 on Cherry Road in Rock Hill with Straight Talk, selected by the South Carolina Broadcasters Association as the state's top public affairs program.
Good afternoon. Welcome into Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, for another edition of our Straight Talk broadcast, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Our thanks to our co-sponsor today, Comporium, your friendly neighborhood tech giant. Piedmont Medical Center is with us today, a community built on care. Find out more online at PiedmontMedicalCenter.com. As is Good Pharmacy, your hometown pharmacy, Ebenezer Road at Camden Avenue in Rock Hill. And of course, HighSpeedWeb.net that streams our signal 24/7, 365. It's all about Winthrop Athletics today, or will there be Winthrop Athletics tomorrow? We don't know. Hank Harroward is with us today. He is Winthrop University's Deputy Athletic Director. And as I just learned a few minutes ago, that means he's the number two guy in charge if the number one guy ain't around.
That's it.
Is that it?
Thanks so much for having me. I appreciate it. You know, I've always been told I have a face for radio, so I'm glad to test it out
well,
today.
Two faces for radio.
There you go.
There you go. So tell everybody a little bit about Hank.
Sure. So I've been at Winthrop for about a year and a half now, and I've been in college athletics for almost a decade overall, and am lucky in the sense that I truly love what I do. And I tell my wife all the time how lucky I am to not be worried about Monday morning and to not have to look forward to Friday, because I enjoy so much about what I do. And so I've been at Winthrop for about a year and a half, and previous to that I've had administrative stops at UNC Charlotte, FIU, Louisiana Monroe. And for a very short time, when I first got in, I Gardner Webb right up the road.
No kidding.
Yep, absolutely. I was there with Chris Holtman, who's at Ohio State now, and I know a lot of folks still at Gardner Webb, a wonderful place, great people. So started my career there and have managed to move around some and kind of come back here.
So we talk about the Big South Conference. Let's see how good he is, ladies and gentlemen.
Okay.
Can you rattle off all the names of the schools in the Big South Conference?
Yeah, I think there's probably some affiliate members I may miss, but we've got Winthrop.
All right.
Longwood, Upstate, Asheville, Radford, Presbyterian College, Charleston Southern. Folks will get mad, I think, if I leave them off. Hampton. I think I'm missing one. I'm probably missing one. Campbell,
there you go.
So
I wasn't going to let you dangle too long.
Yeah, I appreciate it. It's always hard when you can't write them down and look at them. You know, you forget what you started naming.
So Winthrop University offers a large platform of athletic opportunities, does it not?
Sure. Yeah.
How many total sports?
Well, right now, including esports, we're 17 varsity sports.
17 varsity sports. Mm-hmm. They pretty well equally divided between the male and female?
They are. We've got a really good offering, a strong portfolio between male and female right now, and know that sport offering, too, in NCAA lingo, oftentimes we will split up indoor and outdoor track. And so some folks are probably trying to do the math together, and indoor, outdoor track, cross country, technically are three different sports for us. So, I think we have a good sports offering, and a portfolio that I think serves our student body well, from a lot of standpoints, men's and women's specifically. Yeah.
And what's this newest thing that's called, electronic sports?
Esports.
Yeah,
listen, blew me away when I first learned about esports. Esports is booming onto the scene. It is becoming wildly popular, certainly probably with the pandemic, right? There's a lot of folks who are able to stay home and be esports competitors and play various games. We've got a terrific coach, Josh Sides, who's our esports coach. A great roster that floats between 22 to 30. I think usually we get a little closer to 30, maybe tougher with the pandemic. There may be some students who have to stay home. It's been a great addition, I think, to Winthrop. It's added some students to our student body, but it's been a really neat addition. They're top five, top 10 in the country in a few of the different games that they play. And so they've brought some really great notoriety to the institution.
So you have how many, quote, athletes, unquote, involved in esports?
Yeah, I think last year our roster was around 28. Again, this year we'll wait to see how the final numbers shake out, 20 to 25. On a global esports scale, I think it was 2018, more people, League of Legends, more people watched the League of Legends final than watch the AFC or NFC championship games. And so the followings are huge. They sell out Madison Square Garden. They sell out all kinds of places for esports.
My Lord.
Yeah.
Who would have ever thought?
It's a new age, but, man, it's been a lot of fun to learn about. And I love, you know, our students, our esports competitors are, they're a great addition to our campus.
So they're actually a team. They actually have a coach.
They do, absolutely.
And they sit down and work out strategies
for whatever the games are. Yeah, they work out strategies. Yeah, there's micro and macro skills they work on. So they work on strategy. They work on their micro skills. And think about it in the basketball sense, right? You have your team practice, but you're also doing individuals, and you're shooting free throws, and you're doing other stuff to work on, you know, the practical skills of the game. But then you're also putting in offensive and defensive sets and that kind of thing. So they practice, you know, they have cutoff times for their practice because there's points of diminishing return for their practice as far as fatigue and those kind of things go. And so, there's a lot more than meets the eye with esports for sure.
Tell me we're not giving out scholarships for this yet.
We do give out scholarships to some of our esports competitors. Yeah, we do.
Wow.
Which is not atypical. Lots and lots of institutions do that, yeah. But I will say that overall, our esports team actually makes the institution money when you consider the amount of scholarships they give out and the amount of students they bring in.
So we actually have students who are flocking to Winthrop to be on the esports teams.
Yeah, I think flock is...
Flock may be an overstatement.
You know, I don't know, but I don't know that it is, right? I think we have lots of students. There would be this year, non-pandemic, there would be, you know, probably 30 to 35 students who would never have otherwise enrolled at Winthrop that are enrolled at Winthrop to be on our esports team.
Do the math. Yeah. I see what you're talking about.
Yep, absolutely.
Very interesting.
Yep.
Well, the big buzzword, obviously, in your world, two things, pandemic.
Sure.
And let's start with the easy one, pandemic. All right? Okay. We won't talk about tennis yet. We'll just talk about pandemic. I've had season tickets at the Coliseum for, 30 years?
Yeah.
35 years, something like that. What's going to happen? Are we going to play ball? I mean, what's Kelsey doing? He's probably going crazy.
He's our men's and women's basketball teams are back on campus mostly. The NCAA is allowing summer access workouts for those groups right now. So thankfully, Coach Randall Lay with our women's team and Coach Kelsey with our men's team and their groups are back on the floor together. They're able to be back together and work out with one another a certain amount of time per week, which has been great for them. Are we going to have sports, particularly in the fall, is the million-dollar question. There's a lot of logistical things that go with it. The NCAA has put out a lot of guidance on their medical group. Listen, so has the CDC, and so we're trying to follow these things, and I think everybody's waiting around and kind of trying to figure out can we safely have sports? And that's the million-dollar question. We're trying to figure out how to do it. We have a number of athletes working out on campus right now, and we think we have really good internal protocols and processes to keep our athletes safe while they practice and work out and those kind of things on our campus. The question is, can we then grow that to safe competition? And that's what we're all trying to figure out, even right now.
Wow. So how do we practice basketball, quote, safely, unquote, per CDC guidelines?
Yeah,
how do we do
this?
Do we wipe the ball off every time somebody touches it, or what?
We don't. So there's a lot of the same stuff that hopefully most private citizens are doing, right? You're distancing wherever you can.
How do you distance when you're playing basketball?
Good question. So there's a lot of individual work right now, right? So rather than having 10 guys or 10 girls on the floor practicing a defensive set or an offensive set, a lot of times right now we're spending our time with skill development, one-on-one work with coaches. So you may be getting up jump shots. You may be working on various things. And so you can do those spaced out. Takes a little more time on our coaches. But rather than having a handful of folks on one basket, you might have two and then one rebounder. We're asking all of our coaches to wear masks. So to get into our facility right now, there's a medical professional, our athletic training staff. They'll screen you. Have you been exposed to COVID? Have you been exposed to anybody with COVID-like symptoms? They'll take your temperature before you come in. You'll have to attest that you don't have any COVID-like symptoms. And so we're doing daily medical screenings before coaches, staff, student athletes, or anybody can even enter our facility. And once they do, right, our staff is required to wear masks, so there's universal masking going on. Our student athletes, as they lift weights and as they do any drill that they are not capable of social distancing during, they are wearing masks while they do that. If they can social distance during a drill, then we'll allow them to take the mask off. If they're running or conditioning outside 10 feet apart, for instance, they don't have to wear a mask. They have the option to, but they don't have to.
I can't imagine some athlete pumping up 200-300 pounds on a barbell with a mask on.
Wearing a mask.
Oh,
yeah, it's crazy, right? We've heard this phrase, the new normal, so much. And here we are. You know, for right now, this is at least our new normal.
What would be really good to see is to get a video of Pat Kelsey with a mask on, as vocal as he is.
Coaching.
Yes,
yeah.
Exactly what,
yeah,
I'm talking about.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt.
I hope you're listening, Pat.
They're doing it. Yeah, I hope so, too. Pat's great.
So we don't know whether we're going to have, number one, are we going to have actual competition? Mm-hmm. Don't know that. But is there a drop-dead date on that? I mean, we're here. It's July. We've got plenty of time. But
yeah,
you should start playing basketball, what, in October?
Yep. So we're approaching that institutionally and as a conference, right? We're approaching that sort of drop-dead date that you mentioned. And listen, it's all NCAA membership. It is dominating much of our conversation right now. And so I know a lot of the bigger leagues are trying to make a decision in early August. There are some other leagues that are waiting to see what other people do and kind of going to take a cue off of that. And so I think sometime early August, you're probably looking at making those decisions the first half of August, to be sure. Now, will we delay fall championships? Will we delay all fall competition until January 1? That's what the Ivies have done. They've delayed all competition until January 1. Will we delay the fall season and then reassess sometime in October? There's a lot of variables out there, all things that we're trying to look at, and all things that are still on the table as well. You know, it's, you got to do it safely. And I think the hard part is you have to make sure you're doing it safely. But on the other hand, right, you have these student athletes who have really worked and have earned the opportunity to compete. And if we can give them the opportunity to compete safely, we owe it to them to chase down everything we can to try to get them out there if it's safe.
And it was interesting that your boss, Dr. Halpin, the athletic director, sent out a letter to all the student athletes and said, look, I got it. We understand this concern you have about the virus and playing safely. If you opt not to play, we're going to honor your scholarship. I mean, I can't think about anything more generous than that.
Absolutely. You know, and that was a decision that as an athletics department really, Ken does an unbelievable job with leading with a student-first approach. And we try to demonstrate to our student-athletes. I've told a lot of people, right, Winthrop has forced me to view myself, on a personal note, as an educator in a different lens than I ever have before working in college athletics. And that's a testament to the institution and the staff, but it's a testament to Ken, too. And so we always look at our student-athletes as students first and as human beings, and any opportunity we have to support them and to help take stressors away from them. You know, college students are going through a lot. They're having their daily lives, and they're not just their athletic endeavors, but their educational endeavors disrupted. And so the last thing we wanted is for somebody to be, you know, sitting around trying to make a decision that was best health-wise for them or for their family and say, well, I may need to go back and play soccer. I may need to go back and play volleyball. I may have to go back and run track because I need that scholarship to stay enrolled. We don't want them to worry about that. And so really generous, really important decision Ken made, I think.
What kind of response have you gotten from the athletes? I can't imagine young men and women not wanting to get out there and play.
They do, right? Yeah. And they do. Now, we do have some student athletes who I imagine, like most schools, there's some trepidation about that as well. We have some student athletes who, particularly those who are out of state, who may be watching the state numbers in South Carolina and saying, hey, I don't know that we're seeing the best trend in South Carolina. You know, we do have some student athletes who may be uncomfortable returning in the fall. We have some that have expressed that, which is great. Again, we support that. Whatever they have to do in the best interest of their health and their families.
Whew, jeez.
A lot going on.
My gosh.
And it changes every day, right?
Yeah, it changes every day. Part. Well, let's just assume that the Big South Conference says we're going to play.
Mm-hmm.
All right? But we're going to play in such a way that we're going to have fans out there. But we want you to reset all the seating. Now, for the Coliseum, that would be easier because you've got a 6,000-seat Coliseum. You know, a big night would be maybe 3,000.
Mm-hmm.
So you got some wiggle room in there.
Right.
Has anybody been sitting with their computer trying to figure out how would we do this and accomplish, you know, 6 foot, the 6 foot bubble that you're supposed to have?
Those kind of things. So those conversations, of course, are ongoing, right? If we have competition, do we have fans at all? How do we manage the concession situation? How do we manage the ticketing situation? You know, we're encouraging folks to use an online ticketing platform wherever they can, like most people. And so those conversations are ongoing, but there's really been a sequential kind of logic to this stuff. At first, the sequential kind of logic led us to how do we get some of our staff back safely and open our facilities safely? And then how do we get our players back, those who want to return? Because if you'll remember, South Carolina opened up some gyms early, and we had a lot of student-athletes who are local, and so we said, listen, rather than going to some public gym where maybe things aren't as controlled, we'd rather bring them into our facility where we can control who's been there, how clean it is, how many folks are there, those kind of things. And so the second part of that was how do we get our student-athletes access to our facility and to athletic activity safely? The third part of that is now, as we just talked about, how do we compete safely and does that happen? And so down the road, obviously, becomes if we compete, how does the crowd look and how do we manage those things? How do we manage those things? And so, yeah, we're talking about it constantly. It's something that's floating out there, but at times there is a first things first approach. And so I think right now we're trying to figure out how do we get our tests back soon enough to safely compete? You know, how do we travel our team safely if we're going to go compete? How do we ensure that the referee has been tested if we're going to compete? You know, those logistical things, we're still wading through those. And hopefully if we get through there and get to a point where we're going to compete, then at that point we say, how do we safely invite our great fans into the Coliseum or to any of our facilities?
And then, of course, the other side of this is the cost for all this. If you don't have fans, I mean, you're not getting big TV revenues, what have you. So you need fans to help pay the bills. And if you don't have fans, ugh.
We do. You know, it's hard financially if we don't have fans or if we have reduced fans or those kind of things. And there's no way around that for us, right? You're right. We depend on our basketball gates and our baseball gates and other sports. You know, we depend on some of that revenue to help supplement our athletics program. And so it is a difficult thing. Now, just like our students have earned the opportunity to compete, we owe it to them to make sure we can do it safely. You know, our fans want to be there, and we like that revenue, but we've got to make sure we're doing it safely if we get to that point, too. So that's always going to be first and foremost is health and safety.
So you talk about a lot of balls in the air. You got them.
Oh, yeah.
No pun intended with sports, but, I mean, that's exactly what
sure.
You you got whatever. All right, we're going to go ahead and take our mid-program break, remind you that you are listening to Straight Talk, live from Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop. Presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Our thanks to our co-sponsor today, Comporium, your friendly neighborhood tech giant. Now, Hank, you'd have never done this before, but we broadcast live from Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop. Fresh subs and salads prepared right before your eyes 7 days a week. How do they do that? It's in these white letters on this cue card right here, and we all say it together at the count of three as loud as we can. One, two, three.
Slice, slice, slice. Slice. Garden, garden, garden.
Not bad. There you go. Back after these words.
If it's 12:30, it's Straight Talk on WRHI.
This is Dr. Karen Jenkins, Emergency Room Director at Piedmont Medical Center. When someone is experiencing a life-threatening emergency, such as a stroke or a heart attack, every second counts. Piedmont Medical Center's emergency departments in Rock Hill and on Gold Hill Road in Fort Mill are open 24/7 to treat life's unexpected emergencies. Even in the middle of a pandemic, our commitment to providing safe, high-quality emergency medical care in our community remains strong. Piedmont Medical Center, a community built on care.
This is Danny Rogers with Paul Davis Restoration and Remodeling. If your home or business is damaged by water, fire, storm, or mold, Paul Davis is here to help. We are staffed with over 35 trained and certified professionals to handle any type of property damage. Our team mission is to provide extraordinary care while serving our neighbors in their time of need. Whether you need repairs in one room or rebuild a whole home, Paul Davis is here to help. Find us online at pauldavisrockhill.com.
Don't resign your retirement plan to some rule of thumb. Your own personal retirement is unique to you and your family. Give our common sense investing approach a shot. Anderson Griggs Investments, a genuine money manager right here in Rock Hill. 324-5044 or online at andersongriggs.com.
This is Charlie Ruffalo. I want to personally thank everyone for supporting Substation 2 during this pandemic. This has not been an easy time for many of us, but you keep coming back day after day for our fresh subs and salads, and that has helped us keep the doors open and our employees on the payroll. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Rock Hill and York County, for supporting Substation 2 these past 34 years, and especially now. Substation 2 really loves you. Cherry Road, across from Winthrop.
Are you looking to relax, spend time with the family, or cruise the open road with your new motorcycle to get away? Founders Federal Credit Union is offering low interest rates on recreational vehicle loans. Whether you need a boat, jet ski, ATV, camper, or a motorcycle for your next adventure, we can help. Relax, it's time to play. Visit foundersfcu.com to see if you qualify for membership. Founders Federal Credit Union is federally insured by NCUA.
These days, there are plenty of ways to stay connected to the internet. Laptops, phones, tablets, games, you name it. But the more devices you use in your home, the tougher it is to get a strong, consistent Wi-Fi signal. Comporium's premium Wi-Fi kit adds multiple Wi-Fi access points throughout your home, eliminating dead zones and interference, while spreading your signal more evenly, so you can enjoy a better online experience. Right now, get our premium Wi-Fi for only $9.99 per month. Premium Wi-Fi from Comporium. Connect your whole home.
Straight Talk continues now on WRHI. Brought to you by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders.
And back we are here at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop with Hank Harrowood. He is Winthrop's deputy athletic director. Technically, he's the number two guy in charge. Dr. Ken Halpin is the man at the top, but we like you better. No, I'm just teasing. you tell Halpin. All right, let's talk about probably, I guess it goes without saying, probably the most difficult decision you guys had to make, which was we need to get our expenses under control in light of the pandemic, and so you all had to take a look at your sporting activities, and you opted to, we've got to get rid of tennis.
Yeah.
The program that's had more success than anything else you've done.
Yeah, a lot of success, and you're right, it was the hardest decision I think you can ever make as an athletics administrator. And I remember very vividly telling my wife it was a decision that you make that you just so much don't look forward to, and you don't believe it's you explore everything you can before you get there. You explore when you get this number of here's how much we have to remove, not just next year but really in perpetuity from the athletics budget. We needed immediate relief. We needed to remove, really in perpetuity, a number from the athletics budget as well. And you explore everything. You look at horizontal cuts across the department. We weren't in a space where we could even approach the number with something like that based on, operationally what we have from a funding standpoint. You look at freezing open positions and saying maybe we won't rehire some people while work a little harder. The savings wasn't going to be realized that way either. And so you ultimately get down to this long list of things that you try. And the very last thing is, do we need to reduce the number of sports that we offer? Incredibly difficult, not a decision anybody expects or looks forward to. But you're right, it was a really hard decision.
I can't imagine, once you reach the decision, how difficult it must have been to go back to the coaches and to the athletes themselves, who in tennis have performed so well over the years. I mean, what is it, 25 titles for the women and 15 titles for the men, something like that?
On top of that, wonderful students, all of whom, most of whom I know. I mean, on a personal level, I know all of our kids, but those students that I know and talk to them and pass them in the hallway and help them with different things. And so they're great people and they're great students, high GPAs, gut-wrenching decision. I actually let our head coaches know, not our tennis head coaches. Ken had that conversation. I'll let the rest of our head coaches know. And Ken had a Zoom call with each of the teams individually to let the student athletes know. That was important to Ken, that he be the one that deliver the news. There's always, right, there's different people that say, well, why didn't you give anybody a heads up? And we could have fundraised. We could have done other stuff. Wow. We had great concern. News of this magnitude that is that disruptive to a young person's athletic and academic career, we didn't think the right thing to do was to allow them to hear that news on Twitter or to hear that news as a rumor or to hear that news via text message from a friend. And so, Ken was able to deliver the news to our tennis teams so that they found out from him And I can't, you know, having to deliver that news to our student athletes, I can't imagine really what his day was like or the night before. I'm sure that was, I don't want to speak for Kim, but I'm sure that was a night that was, you know, he probably didn't get a lot of sleep.
May 21st, he was on Palmetto Mornings on WRHI, which is our morning program. And in that interview, he said, we're not going to make any cuts in athletics. Everything's fine. We're going to make it, blah, blah, blah. And then in a quick period of 2 or 3 weeks, the whole dynamic changed. Did the order come on down from on high that you got to cut something from the athletic department? I mean, is that how it
worked?
Yeah,
we knew that we had a certain, you know, working with our university budget group, we knew there was a certain amount of money that had to come, again, immediately and then in perpetuity out of the athletics budget.
Right.
Right. And so when we go to right-size the budget, particularly to the degree that we had to, over $600,000, you know, you immediately look into all kinds of options. And we didn't expect to land here. We didn't expect to have to go. Even in May, we were still admitting tennis athletes to school. You know, yeah. We didn't expect this decision at all. Now, those tennis athletes whom we've admitted to school and you know, who have signed aid agreements will have the opportunity to come to Winthrop as students next year and keep their scholarships right. Next year and those kind of things. But, yeah, it was a decision that we didn't expect. Then when we looked at the numbers, right, and realized that it may happen, then, yeah, things did go rather quickly, which is not to say they weren't thought out, they weren't deliberate, we didn't explore every option. They did go rather quickly because, again, we wanted our students to know, right? We didn't want to tell our students right. August 15th yeah. that this was happening.
Well, he was back. He did a follow-up interview with Matthew Cray, who runs our news operation, and you know, he explained everything, and we've done that interview. But this, you know, this social media stuff is crazy. I mean, people are out there saying all kinds of stuff, and you've seen where there have been commitments by whoever to, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars to try to help the tennis program continue, whether they use that for the court repair or whether they use it for the, you know, the expense of operating the actual sport. Is that something you pay a whole lot of attention to, or?
You know, I'm certainly aware of it.
I mean, you obviously would like somebody to walk in with a check and say,
sure.
Here, bingo.
Money talks, and you know what walks. I've told a lot of people, I mean, listen, again, no one wanted this outcome. Yeah. I've told folks before, the best thing that could happen is somebody comes in with an enormous check, maybe, and at that point other people can consider what we do. That certainly is right. Not my decision to consider or anything like that. But sure, that would help. And so we are aware of those fundraising activities, to be sure. Understand and appreciate the passion that people have for Winthrop tennis. You know, what ultimately happens with Winthrop tennis is again, not something that's in my purview or in my control.
But the bottom line is the decision has been made and there's no going back right now.
As far as I'm aware, that's correct.
I mean, somebody, as you say, somebody would have to walk in with a great big check.
Yeah, I suspect
great
that would be the case.
Check.
You know, even then, again, it's a situation where right now the university is focused so much on, you know, what fall classes looks like, right-sizing the university budget, yeah. Those kind of things, that who knows what a priority is and isn't right now at the university level. There's thankfully people that are a lot smarter than me figuring that out.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the whole dynamic of going to college and to a university is entirely different now because people have learned that they can get an education at home watching a computer terminal and
sure.
Save themselves money from room and board, which is one of the money positives for college.
Right, and and from a university standpoint, you're right. There's a lot of people who maybe aren't comfortable coming back, but if they are comfortable saying, hey, I can sit 6 feet away from people in class, I'm comfortable with that. A lot of people maybe aren't as comfortable in a community living environment like a dorm.
Sure.
There's a lot of auxiliary revenue from dorms and those kind of things.
Well, our half hour's going right by, Hank.
How about that?
How about that?
All right.
We had fun, didn't we?
It was great.
You're
going to
come back?
Me. Absolutely.
Good.
Anytime.
Tell Halpin to stay back in his office, right? All right. Hank Harewood, our guest this afternoon on our Straight Talk broadcast, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Our thanks to our co-sponsor today, Comporium, your friendly neighborhood tech giant. Now, as Hank has learned, the only place to come for lunch in the world right here
right.
is Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop. And we prepare fresh subs and salads 7 days a week right before your eyes. The magical way we do it every day is in the white letters on the cue card, and we're all going to say it together at the count of three. Are you ready, Hank?
I'm ready.
All right, 1, 2, 3. Slice, slice, slice. Garden, garden, garden. Have a wonderful weekend. We'll see you on the radio Monday. Bye.